Thank you, Maddie. Thank you. Oh boy, I feel like I could just say thank you, everyone, for letting me be of service, and thank you for your shares. And now I can just get off. I am so full from just starting from this morning with the breakfast chat. I want to thank Yvonne and Maddie for inviting me, and Yvonne and Al-Anon Without Borders, all those have been committed. Happy birthday, happy anniversary, 1 year. I've got to say that the first time I came to an AWB event, I couldn't get on, but because I'm Al-Anon, I kept trying because that's my go-to. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get on. I am going to get on. And I did eventually get on. I stayed on the entire day. Thank you. I cleaned out all my bathroom drawers. I cleaned out all of my dresser drawers while I was off camera listening to every single share the entire day. My husband did not see me at all. I was upstairs the entire day, and it was wonderful, and
Awesome.
I never forgot it. Oh boy, why I stay. I stay because I have a character that has need. Somewhere along the line, I don't know if I was wounded, where I was wounded, how or when or whatever, but there's the core of me that has a need that Al-Anon has help, that Al-Anon can help. I was thinking about the theme, and it said, alcoholism knows no color. And I thought about that, and I said, well, no, alcoholism absolutely has no color, knows no color, but unfortunately, people do. And I grew up in a situation, all my schooling, I was always with Caucasians, and I was many times the only Black person in my classroom. I remember someone was invited to my religion class one day, and there I was, the only Black person. I was 15 years old, and this man said that the reason why Black people are Black was because of our sin. And there I was. I felt really unsafe. I felt vulnerable. And I was looking to the teacher to say something, to protect me, to defend me. And she never did. And she never did. And because I was in the type of school I was in, if I said anything that sounded what sounded disrespectful to them, you would get hit, you would get put out, it was that kind of situation. So I think that although alcoholism is the reason why I came into the rooms, my life started with isms way before alcohol showed up, with racism, with colorism, with my own perfectionisms. There were just isms in my life that they just controlled me. Fear, I was very fear-based. And of course I didn't know that until I came into Al-Anon. Why was I behaving the way I behaved? Why did I have that attitude? What's going on with me? And what I realized was fear, just fear and more fear. Definitely I lived, what can I say? I live a quiet life inside of myself. I know somebody here understands that. Outside, I appear to be an extrovert. I'm very committed. I do all kinds of service. I'm verbal. Big on communication. Even my job before I retired, job that involved communication. But there's a side of Renee that is very quiet and lives right inside inside there where she feels safer. So I've got this mask, you know. So when COVID came around, I was making this joke like, what's a mask? Ah, I'm wearing a mask all my life. What's the big deal? I'm not bothered by a mask, you know, and this mask, I can just take it off, put it on, take it off, put it on. You know, I'm used to doing that too. It's no problem. Yeah, I needed approval. I always felt like I didn't fit in, even though I was always invited. But inside, I always felt like I don't fit in. And I wish I could tell you guys why I had these feelings, why I had these fears, etc. I have no idea. I just know that they are there and they were ruling my life. When I came in, the steps, oh my gosh. First of all, let me tell you this. I came in crawling. I was crawling. Alcoholism did eventually show up very, very overtly. And whatever that character was, whatever that stuff was inside of me, it came out. I mean, it came out with a vengeance. And I was so fearful of what might happen that I tried to control the entire situation. I had no idea what alcoholism was. I thought an alcoholic was somebody who just drank too much, and all you have to do is stop drinking, and it'll be good. I never heard of Al-Anon ever, didn't know it existed. I had heard about AA. The only thing I knew about that was I thought it was a program that stopped people from drinking. You know, just very quickly, some of my behaviors. I tried to control. I cursed people out. I tried to force them to do what I thought was right because I knew what was right. All you have to do is listen to me and it's going to be okay. I gave money. I took money away. I gave place for them to stay and then I took that away. I literally physically ran down the street running after one of my alcoholics to try and stop him. And by the way, he used to run track and I didn't. So there was no way I was ever going to catch him, but I did. I got on and off of airplanes. I flew to states to find him, states that I had never been in before, had no idea of where to even look. 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, stopping by the guys that are standing on the corner at 3 in the morning, talking about, have you seen little so and so? Yeah, and if a cop had seen me, they would have thought that I was probably one of those people, but I wasn't. I was just an Al-Anon, a sister who loved her brother and was determined that I was going to find him and I was going to bring him home. Yeah, well, none of that ever happened, you know. It was a very long journey. It was a hard journey. I remember one time, well, I went to school full time. I worked full time. I was a single mom. Oh, I was busy. I was very busy. And I was trying to control everyone's life because of my fears, because I was so afraid of the results. That was my thing. I wanted to be able to control the results. I wanted, like someone said earlier, I wanted everyone to be happy. I wanted us to be this cohesive family, you know, and I did whatever I thought I needed to do to try and get that result, that solution. So anyway, one time it was a Sunday afternoon, I'll forget, I was sleeping. And there was this pain that came across my chest so hard that it actually woke me up. And because of the type of Al-Anon I am, I started making excuses. It was gas. You know, I just said it was other than, I said everything about it other than, you know, maybe I should go get it checked out. It's gas, you know, it's probably something I ate, you know, that all that kind of stuff, right? So anyway, this was such a hard pain that even I decided, maybe I better go check this out. So I come out the room and there's my alcoholic brother, one of them. And I look at my mom in the kitchen. I'll never forget this. And I look at her face and she just looks like she just can't handle another minute of it. So since Renee is the strong one and the capable one and the smart one and the no problem, I'm going to take him with me. Now I got this chest pain. I'm getting ready to go to the hospital to check out what's going on, but yet I take the alcoholic with me because, see, I can handle it. So I get there. This was a hospital I actually worked in. They told me they were going to keep me. I told them, oh, well, let me go tell my brother who's out in the car waiting for me. I guess higher power just told that nurse she is not coming back. And that's the truth. If I walked out that door, my intention was I was not coming back in there because I was busy. I did not have time to lay in a hospital bed. So she said, no problem. I'll go and tell your brother because I had actually bought the car from the nursing director. So she knew my car. She knew the car. And so I ended up staying and I stayed there for 2 or 3 days. When they say that alcohol kills people who are not alcoholic, I was on my way. I was definitely on my way. I suffered about 3 years of insomnia. I love that statement that someone made that their sponsor said, "Sleep in peace, God is awake." I didn't know how to do that. And so when I went to work in the morning, and I had the type of job at that time where like nodding like this was not a good look. I'm not going to talk about my career, but it wasn't a good look. But people wouldn't know that the reason why I was doing that was because I hadn't slept. I couldn't sleep. So ultimately, I ended up going to a meeting where it was in a rehab, where one of my brothers, or both of my brothers, I don't know, I was always chasing them in and out of rehabs. I was putting them in and out of rehabs. I told you, I was taking control, I was taking control. They were my project because I always needed a project anyway. And I'm sitting there. We couldn't see our loved one if we didn't come to these meetings every Friday night. And we wouldn't be able to see our loved one at the end of 30 days. And of course, I needed to see them because I needed to make sure they had soap and soap powder and quarters and toothpaste, underwear. I needed to take care of them still, even though they were in a rehab. So I went to those meetings, and one Friday, this is my higher power, and this is where my journey to healing began. I went to this meeting, and as always, they were going to go around the group and they wanted to know what's your name and why are you here. Well, this was, I think, the third Friday that I'd been there, and when it came to around to me, I remember that something felt like the size of an apple in my throat. And I opened up my mouth and I said, "Please help me." And to this day, honest to goodness, I could never tell you where that came from because I never asked anybody for help, ever. I didn't need anybody's help. They needed my help. And to this day, I know that that had to be higher power. I couldn't even say my name. I opened my mouth and it was almost like God said, "Tonight, the only thing you're going to say is help me." And that's what happened. And I ended up going on my Al-Anon journey to healing, which I'm so very grateful for. I stay in this program because this program has helped me in ways that I didn't even know I needed. For me, when I came in, I came in crawling. I was crying so hard. I'll never forget that day. I was crying. I was snotting. I mean, it was ugly. It was really ugly. And everyone in that room was white. And I could care less what color you were because my pain was so great. I just wanted help. When I said help me, I needed help. So wherever that help came from, whoever it was coming from, I did not care. And to tell you the truth, I still don't care because I still can be in pain. And it doesn't have to, and I and what I found out in my life is I don't have to have an alcoholic around me for me to be in pain. I am sensitive. Yeah, that tough, really tough person, that persona, no, I am very sensitive. And so I always need to be around people where I can learn how to live this life on life's terms. How to accept this life and things that happen. Some of you have questioned, well, why do we have to have these separate meetings? And I'll just give you a little example. One time I went into a meeting and there was a woman who told me that I reminded her of the black woman who took care of her when she was a kid. And immediately my mind thought to myself, oh, you're Mammy. Okay, but I was nice. And I just said, oh, that's nice. And then when we sat down, she put her head on my shoulder. I just kept looking straight ahead, kept my focus on the meeting and what was being shared. But I was like, okay, so now you're reliving your head on your mammy's shoulder, and I'm not your mammy. That was a problem. There was a movie that came out called 12 Years a Slave or 12 Years or something. And there was a woman after the meeting. After the meeting, I saw her make a beeline for me. She rushed over to me and she said, did you see 12 Years a Slave? And I said, no, I haven't seen it yet. Is it good? And she said, yeah, it's good, but I just wanted to let you know I'm not from the South. I wanted to say, yeah, neither am I. What the hell? One day I'm looking and I see this little white hand coming over. We're in a meeting. I'm listening to the speaker, and this little white hand comes over and grabs one of my thingies here, and she does this. She pulls it down and she lets it go, I guess to see if it's springy or not. I didn't turn around. I didn't say anything, but I thought to myself, what? Why is she looking at my hair and not listening? So we go through experiences in the program, but what I love about alcohol, about Al-Anon, is that Al-Anon taught me that I practice this program in all my affairs, whether it's in the rooms or out of the rooms. And that's a lifesaver because it stops me from being resentful and angry, and I'm not coming back there because blah, blah. No. I come there because I get direction, I get guidance, I get tools that I never had before. My pain is more great than any crazy stuff that could happen in an Al-Anon room. I want recovery. And that's what I focus on. And that's what Al-Anon helps me with because I didn't have the tools. I didn't have tools. I didn't know what to do with the hurt feelings. I didn't know what to do about the confusion. I didn't know what do you do about these people who you love more than yourself, but you can't stop them from killing themselves. I love our Al-Anon literature. I read a lot of literature and it sticks with me because those are the tools that I need, the steps, the traditions, the concepts, the literature, your shares. I need all of it to keep me on the path of serenity and I think to show me how to behave, how to take it in, how to have a different attitude, how to have a different perspective. I like to learn. And Al-Anon is a program that's about teaching me. So it's a perfect relationship. Al-Anon likes to teach and I like to learn. I have no intentions of leaving this program ever. I did leave it one time and life kicked my behind and I came back. And that day that I told you that I came into that room snotting and crying and boo-hooing, I'll never forget that. I remember saying to those white faces, I will never leave this program again. And I've been in the program about 30 years now. And I'm still never going to leave it. Because I still have character defects.
Time.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me share. I just want to close by saying that service is something that has also kept me. It helps me to focus on others. It helps me to stay out of my head. And I highly suggest service. Just let me tell you this one quickly. The first time I did service, someone volunteered me for literature, and I didn't want to do it. And I'm a reader. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, and I've been volunteering for service ever since. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you for being here.
Yay! Thank you, Renee.
Can we all...